Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's the summer. Stock up. Stock up. Best in microbrews. Imports, domestics. Did I mention beer? And, of course, soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and when the conditions are right, the pickle bar. Barrel pickles for this guy right here. Love them. We're at the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Wow. Today, LeBron made the decision, too, and it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. It is significant beyond words that about what he's done. I mean, he's going back. Kyrie Irving and company. Andrew Wiggins. Names that Kevin won't watch.
I just wonder how many of the fans that burnt their LeBron jerseys are now rushing out to get one.
Well, you don't know what number he's going to wear. Is he going to go back to 23 or is he going to wear 6?
That's a good point. It's not official yet what number he's going to wear.
Well, he hasn't really officially done anything yet.
I guess he hasn't even signed papers yet either, really.
Signed papers, hasn't done anything. So, I don't know. I would assume he'd go back.
I'm just checking to see if there's anybody wearing 23 right now.
Okay.
The other thing is, I wonder what ticket sales are like right now for the first game. Well, or do they have ticket sales started yet?
Well, they don't have a schedule out yet.
Yeah, but does it matter? I mean, really?
Yeah. Well, it does matter because, for example, I can assure you in no uncertain terms that 2 weeks ago, the Cavaliers were not on the Christmas Day schedule. I can tell you right now, the Cavaliers will be on the Christmas Day schedule.
No, that's true. But I'm just saying, whenever they're opening,
that's how everything changes.
Yeah, whatever their opening night is, I don't think it really matters who they're playing at this point. People just say, just give me the ticket. I don't care what night it is. And by the way, there is no 23 on the roster at this point.
No, there is not. So, we will see. But obviously, it's the significant move. It is the domino that changes everything. Nothing else has changed sports more than what he has decided to do. I mean, he had all the power in this situation.
What is ESPN going to do now for the next several months?
Analyze exactly what it means to Cleveland and the rest of the league. What does it mean to Cleveland? What does it mean to Miami? How's Miami going to recover? You know, what's going to happen now with Bosch? What's Melo going to do? What's Dwayne Wade? How lonely is Dwayne Wade?
And I'd like to personally thank LeBron for not taking his talents back home and just saying, I'm coming home. Much, 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 much better.
Yeah. So that's what he's doing. Now, in all of this, it again puts the NBA on the front page and takes baseball and relegates baseball back. That's what they've done. Interesting. Roger in Selins Grove. Hi, Rog.
To take another angle at this now, now that LeBron has signed, the rest of the free agency pieces can start to fall into place around the league. And now yes. There actually is some. I think now free agency becomes interesting. I don't know how interesting it really was charting LeBron's private plane from Cleveland to Vegas to Miami and waiting for it to take off, I guess, to Brazil for the World Cup. But now it's, you know, does Miami want to instantly reload? Does Carmelo Anthony all of a sudden wind up on their radar? You know, Kevin Love, is he going to be one of those pieces around LeBron? Is Kevin Love now on Miami's radar? And so on and so forth. And Houston, are they still, is that where Chris Bosh is going to be? Are they going to be, you put Bosh next to Harden and Dwight Howard, are they in the new big three? So where do you see pieces starting to land in free agency now that the big pieces fall?
This is how I see it playing out. I see Chris Bosh signing a contract now with the Houston Rockets, which then brings us to step two. Then Chandler Parsons, player I've always liked out of Florida, really good NBA player. He signed a deal with Dallas that gave the Rockets 72 hours to match because he was a restricted free agent. Expect the Rockets to sign Bosh and still have enough cap room to match that deal and bring him back. So the Rockets will end up with Bosh, keep Chandler Parsons, and go with Dwight Howard. Expect Jeremy Lin to then be released. Where he ends up, I don't know. I expect Carmelo Anthony to sign with the New York Knicks. And I think that's the next piece to fall. Now, what do the Heat do? They'll keep Dwayne Wade. They'll max his deal out. But then they're going to have to really piece together different parts to make this work. And I don't know if the Cavaliers have any cap space left or can make a trade to supplement James, Wiggins, and Irving. But the order I expect now is I expect Bosh to go to Houston. I expect Houston then to match the contract of Chandler Parsons and bring him back. I expect Jeremy Lin to be released. I expect Carmelo to sign with the Knicks, and I expect Wade to stay with the Heat. And then Gasol becomes a big piece. Pau Gasol becomes a big piece as to what happens with him.
He does, and then you have a lot of next-tier free agents like the Luol Dangs and the Trevor Arizas. And these guys were looked at as, you know, possibly surrounding LeBron in Miami or surrounding, you know, whoever the Bulls would go out and sign. But now, you know, where are these guys going to wind up going back to their teams? The Wizards going to get Ariza back? Is Luol Deng going to re-sign?
Luol Deng could re-sign with Cleveland if he wants. Also, though, Cleveland has talked about signing Ray Allen, who already says he wants to come back, and Mike Miller. And those are two veteran players, outside shooters, fit the profile of what Cleveland needs because that's a missing part for them now. Irving's a slasher, a driver. Wiggins is one thing about Wiggins that LeBron James will find out. Wiggins is a really good defender and a good all-around player, and James will make him better. So the shooting part with Miller and Allen, expect them to also follow when they go to Cleveland. And all of this is going to happen probably within the next 3 or 4 days.
And Kevin Love?
Kevin Love is an interesting spot because in order for him to move, Roger, he has to be traded. He has 1 year remaining on his contract with Minnesota. Obviously, Minnesota has dangled it out there. I found it interesting that Minnesota, the draft came and went, and they did not move Kevin Love. I still say that he is a guy that if Carmelo Anthony does not make a move from New York and say they lose Pau Gasol, I could see the Lakers then making a big move to try and see if they can acquire Kevin Love. But in order for Love to move, it must be a trade because he did not opt out of his contract.
the Lakers have been quiet, and the Phoenix Suns look like a team that really wants to move to that upper echelon of the West. Because, I mean, they have been at least interested in Anthony, and they were at least interested in LeBron James. It seems like they want to get dramatically better, too.
I agree, and the Suns were a team that last year got better, played some exciting basketball, and you're right, are looking for that next level guy to take them up to that upper tier, because the West is obviously deeper than the East exponentially. That's why LeBron staying in the East, going to Cleveland, is important, because the path to the finals is far easier in the East than it is in the West.
It is all cyclical, though, and you have to get bad to get good. And there are a lot of bad teams in the East right now who, like you said, with the Sixers, the next 2-3 years are going to be good. And when you get guys like Wiggins and, you know, that mature a little bit, and Embiid gets healthy, and Nerlens Noel makes something of himself, then all of a sudden, you know, the East won't be so bad.
I think the Sixers in a couple of years, I know the kind of shape the organization was in before this, because I had a long talk with Doug Collins one night in Chicago about this. And so I had a pretty good idea about where they were. But they've drafted well. Michael Carter Williams, very good. Joel Embiid, that was an excellent pickup. Noel, I always liked the fact they drafted him. He's having a good summer league right now. They actually have parts that fit together. I'm not crazy about the kid that they got to wait 2 years for out of Europe. But that's the state of the NBA.
Yeah, the Wizards are an interesting team only because, you know, they're not used to being a playoff team. They're used to being a lottery team. Now they're a playoff team, and they see others in the East, you know, getting better. And do they not only re-sign Ariza, but then go out and try to get another free agent like a Lou Albang or a Chris Humphries or some to make themselves a little better? Mm.
Dang's the guy I would go after because I really like him a lot. I think he's a real player, and I think he's somebody that adds to the profile of the team. Chris Humphries, not quite. I've never really bought into it. Even when he was with Minnesota, I didn't buy into it. I know how his teammates felt about him and how the coaching staff felt about him. That's probably has changed, jaded how I feel about him. Dang is really, really good, though. And I think the one thing you want to avoid when you're in the NBA, you want to avoid, and I say this with all due respect to Mike Muscala, you want to avoid being the Atlanta Hawks, where you're good enough every year to make the playoffs. You're not good enough to get out of the first round, but because you made the playoffs and were in the first round, you're also not good. You know, you're not bad enough to be in the lottery and get a good pick.
Right. And Washington's hope is 3 years from now, Kevin Durant is a free agent. And you hope, they hope that he looks at Washington like LeBron looks at Cleveland. Because other than that, Washington really isn't a destination yet for big-name free agents, just as Cleveland's not. But if you catch a break and, you know, the favorite son comes home, you know, and I think that's what DC is looking forward to in 3 years.
I totally agree with that, and I think what they've done with their backcourt has made it a destination possibility for a guy like Kevin Durant, because the Wizards' backcourt, young, exciting, energetic, bring a lot of juice to the table. I think a lot of guys would like to play with those two guys in particular.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Roger. We go to Dave in Sunbury at 800-795-9565. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Steve.
How are you, Dave?
Okay. Well, just quick speculation. Basketball for me is going down the road, if you know what I mean. you were saying about numbers of Penn State players. Would any of those receivers that came in just, you know, during the last 2 weeks, you know, when they opened up camp, could any of them have number 8?
Oh, I'm sure some of them, one of them does. I'll actually find out tomorrow when I have to live for life, because they'll all be out there. They'll be a part of the kids' clinic part of it. So I'll see it. So whomever ended up with it, I'll find that out tomorrow, obviously.
Well, but, I know it wasn't Tompkins, because he's number 3.
Right. Yeah, he already has. DeAndre Tompkins already has his number,
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd seen an article in the paper that had the numbers, but, you know, in the Patriot. But it didn't have, you know, it had some of the big numbers, like linemen and stuff. because the different weight they've been added from when they signed to, you know, and just coming into camp, that kind of stuff. But it didn't say what it was. You know, the smaller numbers. Didn't really.
Well, tomorrow they'll wear. I don't know if they'll wear jerseys tomorrow, but they may wear pullover practice T-shirts that have their number on it, I think.
Mm.
Because obviously it's going to make it easier for the fans in the autograph session to identify who's signing for them. And if you wanted to go there and bring a hat, a jersey, a T-shirt, whatever, and you ask them to sign it, they will sign whatever, or a poster. There's no restriction on what you can have signed.
Okay, just one little quick thing, then I'll be on my way. Kevin Coward made a statement at the beginning of last week that LeBron would stay with Miami and Carmen, you know, Anthony would stay in the Knicks. He was wrong on the one. I sort of hope he's wrong on the second one. If you know what I'm getting at.
I think the key with Carmelo Anthony is that Carmelo Anthony gets the max deal in New York, and I think the max deal swings him because that's mega money.
Well, you know, kind of greedy for me because it's only $22 million short of what the Lakers could give him. And then his wife, she could work out some kind of movie deals or something. Who knows? But
well, I know that she is interested. I know his wife is interested in going to the movies. I do know that. I've never heard of New York being an impediment to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my phone call, Steve.
Great to hear you, Dave. We'll come back with more. 800-795-9565. You want to jump in on the conversation here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Another summer day has come and gone away from Paris and Rome, but I want to go home.
Great. Kevin found his soundtrack to The Wedding Date. All right. We welcome everyone back.
All home songs for bumper music today.
Yeah. Sure. All right. LeBron James is going home. Good questions about where the other dominoes fall. I really believe that Carmelo Anthony is going to go back to New York. I do believe that Chris Bosh is going to go to Houston, that Houston will match the contract that Chandler Parsons signed with Dallas, in which they had 72 hours to match. I expect Parsons to remain with the Rockets, that Jeremy Lin will probably be released. And Pau Gasol is the next big one. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I'm not quite. I know he's talked to Miami. He's also talked to Oklahoma City, which is interesting. So, yeah. That's what makes it all interesting and intriguing, don't you think?
Speaking of interesting
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, speaking of interesting and intriguing, I saw something today about a papers that were filed in the O'Bannon lawsuit by the plaintiffs yesterday. This lawsuit continues to expand and continues to astound me. They quote a contract between Jefferson Pilot Sports, which carried a lot of the SEC games in 2000 to about 2010. Yeah. And they quote in there that Jefferson Pilot Sports can publish name, likeness, and voice of each person appearing or connected in games, including biographical materials such as persons, for the purpose of advertising or promoting any game or telecast by JPS. Now, you and I talked about this during the break. This is standard in most contracts. In other words, they can use That's right. clips of the game or, you know, players on the field or a highlight mm-hmm. in a promo talking about the game coming up later this week.
Right.
Now, the plaintiffs in this case are using that as a way to say, well, you know, they're making money on this. So the players aren't getting anything for the use of their images on these promos. What's the next step? Are they going to complain about the players being put on SportsCenter or highlight shows next? Because you're making money on those shows.
Well, good question. I don't know.
This is a scary reach to me.
I know it was brought up. I know it was brought up in the trial. As I've told everyone repeatedly on this show, how that trial was handled was by the NCAA didn't help the cause at all. But this all began because guys like Kevin had to have his video game.
Yeah, blame me.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Friday heading into the weekend. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. I mean, did I mention beer? You better believe it. And snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, soft drinks, the ever-popular pickle bar, which, I mean, barrel pickles are on my list always. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, as we broadcast live from the Chateau. Obviously, we've talked about LeBron James going back. Now the dominoes can fall over the weekend for the rest of the NBA. And with John Wall and Bradley Beal was brought up about Washington before, you know, they are appealing as a backcourt to anybody that is a free agent down the road. Maybe not in this year, but down the road. Washington was not a destination place before. Those two young players have made Washington a potential destination, and I know that Roger mentioned about Kevin Durant, and that would be down the road a big domino. But for now, LeBron James is going back to Cleveland. So, looking forward to it very much. All right. Kevin's here. Big weekend coming up. World Cup, big third place game tomorrow. Nothing like watching the third place anything on TV. Like watching the playoff bowl in the 60s, really. Is anybody going to watch that?
How come they don't have a fifth place or something like that? I mean, why is it that stops at third? You have to have a playoff for third and fourth.
Two semifinals.
No, I understand the logistics of it. I'm just saying, why? Does it really matter that you finish third? I guess it's because you have to. They take the Olympics mentality and have a first, second, and third that they honor at the end. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, do they give away a bronze medal or a World Cup equivalent? Then I guess that makes sense then.
You know what third place means?
You get a bronze medal.
No, it means you didn't win. All right.
That's also true about second.
Exactly. Exactly. So. All right. So baseball this weekend, again, back burner, World Cup. Baseball today, back burner, LeBron James. All-Star Game Tuesday, I'm sure somebody will do something to put them in the back burner. But for the Cleveland Cavaliers, suddenly, you know, it's interesting. He's from Northeast Ohio. In his letter, he talks repeatedly about Northeast Ohio. And because let's face it, Cleveland is not a free agent destination unless you're out of options. He had all the options in the world. He chose Cleveland. He chose to go home. It's interesting. Very, very interesting. And I think he has won over a lot of fans, even casual fans, by doing this and going back. Just my guess. Now, you know, you may have a different opinion out there. I mean, if you don't think so.
I think it would have been the worst thing with all the talk about him, you know, being interested in going back to Cleveland, being interested in going back and then go to New York or something. That would have been really terrible for his image, and I think his image is part of the reason why he's going back to Cleveland. That's just my thought.
I think he's just doing it for the reasons I think any of us naturally would do it. Look, he went out, he wanted to win championships, and he did. He's a two-time champion. He's a two-time Olympic gold medalist. So that part, establishing himself as a legitimate winner as well as being a great player, he's taken care of. Now he's out there, he's going to get max money, and in his career he gets to play with house money. Okay? In his career now, he gets to play with house money. He gets a chance to try and win a championship for his hometown. Okay. That's great. Now, I don't, you know, does anybody know when you look at this as to how good the Cavaliers are going to be? Irving's really, really good. I think Wiggins is going to be really, really good. So now you got a base of three really quality guys to work with. I'll tell you another guy that's interesting that hasn't been mentioned here that would be a tradable guy. It was brought up about Kevin Love as Rajon Rondo with the Celtics. Celtics drafted Marcus Smart. You going to keep Smart and Rondo? Rondo may be moody, but his impact is tremendous. When healthy, you know, he's been out with a knee injury. When healthy, he's a really good player. So, I mean, the letter that he wrote was really impressive. I don't know if you've heard the letter at all. But this is the letter that he wrote for his announcement. All right? Listen to this. He told this to Lee Jenkins. Exclusive. From SI.com and Sports Illustrated. Before anyone ever cared where I would play basketball, I was a kid from Northeast Ohio. It's where I walked. It's where I ran. It's where I cried. It's where I bled. It holds a special place in my heart. People there have seen me grow. Have seen me grow up. I sometimes feel like I'm their son. Their passion can be overwhelming,
but it drives me. I want to give them hope where I can. I want to inspire them when I can. My relationship with Northeast Ohio is bigger than basketball. I didn't realize that 4 years ago. I do now. Remember when I was sitting up at the Boys and Girls Club in 2010? I was thinking, this is really tough. I could feel it. I was leaving something I had spent a long time creating. If I had to do it all over again, I'd obviously do things differently, but I still would have left. Miami, for me, has been almost like a college experience for other kids. These past 4 years helped raise me into who I am. I'm a better player and a better man. I learned from a franchise that had been where I wanted to go. I will always think of Miami as my second home. Without the experience I had there, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today. I went to Miami because of D. Wade and CB. CB meaning Chris Bosh. We made sacrifices to keep UD. I loved becoming a big bro to Rio. I believe that we could do something magical if we came together. And that's exactly what we did. The hardest thing to leave is what I built with those guys. I've talked to some of them, and we'll talk to others. Nothing will ever change what we accomplished. We are brothers for life. I also want to thank Mickey Arison and Pat Riley for giving me an amazing 4 years. I'm doing this essay because I wanted an opportunity to explain myself uninterrupted. I don't want anyone thinking he and Eric Spoelstra didn't get along, he and Riles didn't get along. The Heat couldn't put the right team together. Right? I don't want people thinking that. That's absolutely not true. I'm not having a press conference or a party. After this, it's time to get to work. When I left Cleveland, I was on a mission. I was seeking championships, and we won two. But Miami already knew that feeling. Our city hasn't had that feeling in a long, long, long time. My goal is still to win as many titles as possible, no question. But what's most important for me is bringing one trophy back to Northeast Ohio. I've always believed that I'd return to Cleveland and finish my career there. I didn't know when. After the season, free agency wasn't even a thought. But I have two boys, and my wife Savannah is pregnant with a girl. I started thinking about what it would be like to raise my family in my hometown. I looked at other teams, but I wasn't going to leave Miami for anywhere else except Cleveland. The more time passed, the more it felt right. This is what makes me happy. To make the move, I needed the support of my wife and my mom, who can be very tough. The letter Dan Gilbert wrote years ago, the booing of the Cleveland fans, the jersey burning, seeing all that was hard for me. My emotions were more mixed. It was easy to say, okay, I don't want to deal with these people ever again. But then you think about the other side. What if I was a kid who looked at an athlete, and that athlete made me want to do better in my own life, and then he left? How would I react? I've met with Dan face-to-face, man-to-man. We've talked it out. Everybody makes mistakes. I've made mistakes as well. Who am I to hold a grudge? I'm not promising a championship. I know how hard that is to deliver. We're not ready right now. No way, of course. I want to win next year, but I'm realistic. It'll be a long process, much longer than it was in 2010. My patience will be tested. I know I'm going into a situation with a young team and a new coach. I'll be the old head. But I will get a thrill out of bringing a group together and helping them reach a place they didn't know they could go. I see myself as a mentor now, and I'm excited to lead these talented players. I think I can help Kyrie Irving become one of the best point guards in our league. I think I can elevate Tristan Thompson and Deion Waiters. And I can't wait to reunite with Anderson and Varejo, one of my favorite teammates. But this is not about the roster of the organization. I feel my calling here goes above basketball. I have a responsibility to lead in more ways than one, and I take that very seriously. My presence can make a difference in Miami, but I think it can mean much more from where I'm from. I want kids in Northeast Ohio, like the hundreds of Akron third graders I sponsor through my foundation, to realize there's no better place to grow up. Maybe some of them will come home after college and start a family or open a business. That would make me smile. Our community, which has struggled so much, needs all the talent it can get. In Northeast Ohio, nothing is given. Everything is earned. You work for what you have. I'm ready to accept the challenge. I'm coming home. Makes you want to root for the guy, doesn't it? Kevin's complete analysis of the letter coming up next. It's a big-time teaser. It gets people, like, brings them right in. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Take me home tonight.
Appropriately sung by Eddie Money.
Ironic, isn't it?
I don't think I pick up on these things. What?
You every once in a while you surprise me on stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Eddie Money, former New York City cop.
Come from a long line of New York City cops, as a matter of fact.
Yes, he does. Yes. But going home, getting cash to do it. It's the first time in LeBron James' career he will be the highest-paid player on his team.
That's a stat that's hard to believe.
But again, this goes back to when he signed with Miami. For the poor way in which it played out, he took less money to go to Miami because he wanted to win, because he could have had a max deal in Cleveland. All right, so, you know, just to, you know, now, did it benefit him in endorsements and things like that? Were the domino getting more money? Sure, of course it did. But he probably would have a lot of, he was already getting a lot of endorsements anyway, because of who he is. Kevin sent me this dramatic note that Dave Baldwin Menace is placed on the 15-day DL. Feel better when I mentioned it? Or?
Yeah, I'm actually very happy. That breaking news.
Breaking news? Now, breaking news is Tanaka's probably going to be out for the season. That's breaking news.
Well, that has not been made official.
Okay. Ubaldo Jimenez going to the DL, not breaking news. It's a note.
Well, if you're an Orioles fan, and we have several. I mean, I understand he's 3-8, but...
15-day DL that concludes 4 days of the All-Star break.
Now, Tanaka is not... He's actually just going to go for... he's not going to go for surgery. He's just going to try and work it out.
6 weeks, but they're worried that this is the... You know, that... Bye-bye. All right. By the way, Julian Moore has been granted an extra year of eligibility at Penn State to play basketball. It was a medical waiver that he was able to get. He still has 4 years of eligibility remaining. He played at the beginning of last season for Penn State, received the medical waiver. He now has 4 years of eligibility remaining, as does Peyton Banks, who redshirted completely last year. So let that pass that on. Breaking news about Ubaldo Jimenez?
Well, it just came out.
Breaking news...
I didn't have a sound effect for it. Sorry to disappoint you there. By the way, the debut of Babe Ruth happened 100 years ago today.
Yes, 1914 with the Red Sox. He was a brilliant... How brilliant was Babe Ruth's career? Babe Ruth, for a period of... I don't know, 30 years, 35 years... held the World Series record for most home runs, 15, and the World Series record of 29 and two-thirds consecutive scoreless innings. Now, how remarkable is that? That one guy held a home run record and the pitching record. Same guy. 15 home runs, 29 and two-thirds consecutive scoreless innings. Now, that's impressive. And he made his pitching debut in the state with the Red Sox. He was a 20-game winner a couple times with the Red Sox, won World Series games for the Red Sox as a pitcher, and then eventually was converted to strictly being a right fielder.
Well, I was just going to ask that. Was he a pitcher and a right fielder at the same time? Like, did he, on the off days?
at the end of his Red Sox career, he played much more outfield than pitch. In fact, he led the league in home runs with, I think, 29 his last year with the Red Sox.
But he did play both positions. Like, when he wasn't pitching, he'd go out and play outfield.
When he was playing the outfield more and more with the Red Sox, he was out of the rotation. He was taken gradually out of the rotation. He was taken gradually out of the rotation. And every once in a while with the Yankees, he pitched. I think he won 96 games in his career. You'd have to look that up. I'm not sure. But I believe he was a 96-game winner in his career.
94.
94? Okay.
Not bad. Not bad. 89 of those with Boston. He was perfect with the Yankees at 5-0.
Plus, he won World Series games.
What would his sabermetrics number be?
Irrelevant. He was 3-0 in the World Series with an 0.87 ERA. Let's see.
Batting wise, he had 15 home runs in the postseason.
Right.
Hit .326 in the postseason.
Not quite the embarrassment we thought he was.
Stole 4 bases, was caught stealing 3 times.
Well, it wasn't like he couldn't run. He could run. 15 home runs, 33 knocked in, .326 average, pitching 3-0 in the World Series, 0.87 ERA. Guy's embarrassing.
Averaged 86 strikeouts a season and 162-game season average, which they didn't play that many games. I think that's an interesting number as well.
Yeah. Pitching with the Red Sox, when he hit 29 home runs his last year with the Red Sox, he actually started 15 games and pitched 17. So while he went from 44 games as a high, including 40 starts in 1916 and 41 and 17, he was down to 17 and 15. So he pitched and he started when he hit 29 home runs. He also had a 9-5 record as a pitcher. Egad. In his 10 years as a pitcher, his 162-game average would have been 21 and 10.